Lifestyle matters. It's more than money.
I'm Faisal Carmelli, my co-host here, Dave Popowich. How you doing, buddy?
I'm good, Faisal. How you doing?
I'm good. We've got a great show today. Mm-hmm. We're going to talk about one of the key things that are happening in travel and cruising and so forth. I think that's a very interesting piece. We're hearing more and more people call us up and say, we're going on a cruise than probably ever before.
Well, in river cruises, more than the big ocean cruises, still lots of that happening, but I'm hearing more and more about river cruises. Interesting.
Right. And when you look at what people are also concerned about is the R word, recession.
Oh, that one, recession.
Hmm. And now the U.S. is getting more and more data points that have people believing we're in a recession or going to be, heading into a recession.
Could be, yeah.
And it's deeper than they thought.
Right.
And now all the speculation at the time of an election. Here comes the drama.
Sounds like fun. Sounds like volatility anyways.
What do you think about what's happening on the election campaigns so far and your thoughts of how it could impact economically?
Well, I think people will respond to it far, far too early. I mean, we're so far away. There's so much that could happen.
Yeah.
Right? That I don't think it's even worth speculating at this point. There would likely be some differences clearly between the candidates. But again, you know, why do people respond or call politicians liars all the time? Because what they say on the campaign trail, okay, to get elected isn't necessarily, even if they want to execute on it, it's not even necessarily what they can do depending on the composition of the government, right? So I think people have to be very careful about getting drawn into those headlines, making big, bold calls and assumptions based on what candidates are saying prior to the election. Never mind even after the election, right? Again, what can they execute on?
Here's what I find very interesting about how people look at any election coming up. First of all, the election is months away.
Yeah.
Most Americans are not even thinking about it.
Correct.
They're not. It's not on their top of mind. They're not worried about it. You're going to see some of a small percentage of the population that are dialed in. The rest, you know what they're doing? Vacationing.
Yeah. And listen, most of the population's already decided. There's nothing a candidate's going to say between now and then. They've already decided who they're voting for. Yeah. It's a small portion of people.
Small percentage.
Towards the end.
And exactly.
Right.
It's the heat is going to go up come October and into early November. Mm-hmm. That's when the heat goes up.
Right.
What a candidate says today, I think, is very minimal. And I think this is going to be very interesting because we're going to hear from listeners and viewers of this show, hey, this candidate said something or that candidate did something, and that's going to change everything. Like there's a whole process that has to go through before they become the president.
Yep.
And 100%. Even if they are the president, they have to have supporting group behind them.
Right. That's composition of Congress. There's a whole bunch of stuff that has to happen, right? A whole bunch of stuff. And so it'll make for fascinating reading, incredible headlines, and all of those things. U.S. politics always does. But just be careful from an investment perspective. Remember, we talk about the superpowers of strategy and discipline. Don't be making big, bold calls on a bunch of what-if stuff.
Okay. You talked about don't make big, bold calls. There's been some big, bold calls happening in social media, amongst chat groups. And I get pulled in once in a while, but what do you think about this or that? And these are these rules of thumbs that people put out there. That have some basis around it, but it's not accurate enough for people to depend on.
Yeah.
Throw one at you. There's a rule that goes into retirement called a 4% rule.
Yes.
And so people who don't know about this rule is whatever income you need, you take your assets that you have saved up, take 4% of that, and you pay yourself that 4%. So let me use an example, $1 million saved up. You take 4%, that's $40,000. That's what you can depend on for the rest of your life in retirement.
Right.
What?
Right.
What? This is such a generic piece.
Right.
It's kind of like a cookie cutter for everybody because people are trying to figure out two things.
Yes.
How much money do I need and will it give me the income or the lifestyle that I want?
Right.
That's really what they're asking for.
Well, and the other way they do it, right, is you say, I need $100,000 a year, so multiply by 25, and that's how much I'm going to need to get.
2.5, which is absolutely not true.
Right.
I was actually golfing. Well, I attempted to golf and a friend of mine sat down beside me.
We have to invent a new sport halfway between golf and hockey for you.
It's called hack. and so my buddy's beside me and he's like, hey, Faisal, how much does those people really need to retire? Because was 1 million. I'm hearing it's 1.8 million. And it was a great question.
Right.
But I had to respond, well, you can't do it that way. You can't have a magic number
right.
for everybody.
Right.
There's first and foremost, when you're starting to look at the amount of money you need from your savings, you have to first determine, A, how much money you need to live your lifestyle. B, subtract the amount of guaranteed sources of income, Canadian pension plan, old age security, corporate pension plans, stuff like that. Maybe even rental income or whatever you may have that's cash flow coming in already outside of your savings for your retirement. And that determines a gap. And then you have to look at how much that gap is. And then you determine how much you need in assets to get that gap filled.
Right. And the gap can change. And then it gets dynamic after that, right? Then there's a whole bunch of stuff.
And people try to plan their entire lives based on some rule of thumb right. or some financial calculator they can get online and so forth. So myth number one, the 4% rule is a proxy. It's kind of like when I put my golf club out and try to aim for the hole, I kind of put it, and I never hit the hole. It's kind of somewhere we're going close. That direction. Yeah, it's that way. You know, that's pretty much what the 4% rule. It's kind of like, look out and it's that
right.
way.
Yeah. Well, and you got to be careful about those back of napkin kinds of things, right? There's all kinds of complexities that doesn't adjust for.
My daughter was saying to me, she's 18 years of age and she's like, I'll just want to invest in money so I can buy a home, you know, 15 years down the road, let's say. And so she's like, I heard that you just buy the S&P 500. It averages 11%. That's great, Dad. Yep. That's what I'm going to do.
Yep.
Now, it's not a bad investment strategy. However, the 11%, let me give you some actual numbers here. I've got the returns going back since 1935.
This is from the index chart.
From the index chart. Yes. And goes from till the end of December of 2023, just so that people know what I'm talking about here. If you took any 10-year period, pick your date, pick 10 years from that date, and you look at all the different variations of the rates of return of the S&P 500, the U.S. stock market, we'll call it that. The median rate of return is 12.7. Now, some people didn't do so well in stats class back in high school. Median means that 50% of the money of the returns are better and 50% are lower.
Right.
That means half the time, you're not going to get 12.7%.
Right.
In fact, 99% of the time, you're not going to get 12.7. You might get better or worse. And here's the worst performing 10-year return for the S&P 500. Negative 4.8% per year on average, compound average rate of return.
Every year for 10
years. For 10 years. If you invested $100 in August of 2000 in the S&P 500, and went to the moon and came back 10 years later, you'd be left with $61.
Right.
How's that for retirement planning?
Right. Not good. Not so good at math, but that doesn't sound good to
me. That doesn't sound good at all.
No.
You want to see how people are making big mistakes in their retirement?
Well, assumption they make there, right? They forget. You said, I think, something that's very accurate. Averages. People think of an average. You know, we've done the research. The markets almost never return the average.
Yeah.
It's some deviation off of that. But when you add it all together and divide it, that's the average. So the average isn't the number that you're going to get.
Right.
Right? It might happen over time. And there's different averages over different periods of time. You know, there's all kinds of things. So the rule of thumb, just invest in U.S. equity. You better understand the implications of your decision. Correct. Right?
And that's why we have these types of conversations. And that's why we have our upcoming seminar to explain this more in detail on Tuesday, September the 10th, 7 p.m. at the Carriage House Inn. You do need to register for this. So go to morethanmoneyradio.com. That's morethanmoneyradio.com to register.
Most people say to us they want to stay physically fit in retirement. Join us in the next segment. We're talking about the best exercise equipment to help you do that. You're on QR Calgary in More Than Money.